This morning is Communion Sunday. We do communion here once a month. And it's also the season of Easter. So I should probably be preaching a series, something related to the crucifixion or the resurrection or, you know, the seven sayings of Christ on the cross or something along those lines. And yet, I'm not. I've been preaching a series on, started a series last week on the two natures of the believer and sin in the life of the believer, which does relate to, very much so, what Jesus did for us, because he set us free from those sins. Truth be told, this morning I wasn't even going to preach a sermon. We were going to have a testimony service, and I wanted to allow plenty of time for everyone to share what Christ has done in their lives or is doing in their lives as we speak. But I also, knowing that today was Communion Sunday, I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about communion. So I began to look through scriptures that related to communion. And I settled in Luke chapter 22. If you want to turn to Luke 22, we've got a few verses there we're going to look at briefly this morning. I settled in this account because there were a couple of things that really stood out to me about this. And the first one is the significance of the Passover and Jesus longing to eat it with the apostles. Especially him longing to eat it with the apostles. In Luke chapter 22, verses 7 and 8, we read, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.'" Now skip down to verse 15. "And Jesus said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Now it's interesting that Christ's crucifixion just happened to happen at the time of Passover. Obviously that's no coincidence, and I could preach a whole sermon just on that. And would like to delve into that further right now. But I want to especially emphasize, we're going to overlook that part right now and all the significance of that. So verse 15, where Jesus says, ESV translates it, "He earnestly desired to eat the Passover." The King James does it a little bit differently. They have a little better literal translation. It says, "With desire, I have desired." Whatever translation, the point is that Jesus longed for this time with his disciples. He was longing for this meal with them. The question is, why? What was the big deal about this meal? Now, of course, there's great significance with the Passover as it relates to the promised Lamb of God, which, of course, Jesus was. Passover, I'm sure you know, is a tradition that started back in Egypt when God delivered his people from the Egyptians. The 10th plague was going to be the death of the firstborn. And it was going to happen to every firstborn in every household that wasn't covered with blood of a lamb. And so the night of the Passover, when the angel of death would pass over certain homes, those who accepted that message slaughtered a lamb, spread the blood over the doorposts of their home, cooked the lamb, and ate it. And then, of course, that night, the angel of death came, and every firstborn in the house of, whether it was a son or a livestock or whatever, if their house did not have that blood over the doorpost, the firstborn was killed. Of course, we know the Egyptians didn't heed the warning, and so their firstborns were killed, including Pharaoh's. And so the Israelites were sent away, and so in that way they were delivered. And by the time Jesus comes on the scene, this had grown into this a pilgrimage. People would travel hundreds and thousands of miles to come back to Jerusalem to celebrate this Passover meal. In fact, history tells us that about this time, Jerusalem was a town of about 50,000 people. And when Passover came, an extra 100,000 people would fill the city. So it was a big deal. But was that why Jesus was looking forward to this? No, I don't think so. As tremendous of an event as this was for the Jews, that wasn't what was going on. But we need to understand what was going on with the Passover meal, how it went down. And I think as we do, we'll begin to understand why this was so significant for Jesus, why he longed for it. First of all, there was the actual eating of the meal in this Passover time. We said they ate this lamb that had been slaughtered and the blood had been put over the doorpost. They ate this lamb. And so by now, it was very much a tradition where they would eat this lamb. They also ate flat or unleavened bread and bitter herbs that went with this. And it's all looking back to that time when they were set free. It was remembering that time. So this was a meal. And when we take communion, or the Lord's Supper, whatever we want to call it, we can have this kind of perception that, well, they just had unleavened bread and wine. No, it was an actual meal. And Jesus was longing to do this with them. If we read in verses 17 through 18, we kind of see this. It says, "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.'" When he says, "Take this and divide it among yourselves," he's talking about the meal at this point. So here these guys are, they're enjoying this Passover lamb, this Passover meal with their master. And that's part of the tradition. The next part of the tradition was the Haggadah, which is a recounting of this Exodus story. And so whoever was in charge of the event, in this case it was Jesus, was supposed to get up and retell the story that I just told you about being delivered from Egypt, and then talk about its significance. And then at the last part of this tradition was they would get up and they would sing a hymn using one of the Psalms. And so it was this three-part meal. And we can confirm that this was exactly what they were doing in the other Gospels, because at the end of this time, if you'll read in Matthew and Mark, you'll find that they got up and they sang. They sang a song before they went to the garden. So this is very much what is going on. Now, at the point that any Jew participating is expecting to hear this Haggadah, this story of the Exodus, what happens? This is the point. Okay, they've done eating. They've eaten this lamb. They're sitting back now. They're waiting for Jesus to get up and tell about the Exodus and how significant it is. What happens? Verse 19. "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" So here they are, they're waiting for the story of the Exodus. And Jesus gets up and says this. He has completely changed things up on them. This is why Jesus was longing for this time, because he was about to tell them, he was about to exemplify to them, this is what's about to happen, guys. This Passover lamb that happened in Exodus, I'm that lamb. I am the new covenant. The old covenant is fulfilled. The covenant is a contract. If any of you know anything about law, in order to have a contract, there has to be something given by each party. So the Jews had followed the laws and done the sacrifices and all these things, looking forward to when this covenant was going to be fulfilled through the Messiah. Jesus says, he's said it many times in the Gospels, he said, "I have come to fulfill the law." And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this. That's why he's looking forward to this time with his disciples. "I have come to fulfill the law." And he's about to do that. One of the cool things about covenants in Jewish tradition, and I think even the Middle Eastern tradition at the time, was that oftentimes the two parties who had entered into this covenant would share a meal together. Can you see the imagery here? This is awesome! This is what Jesus is doing. I am establishing a brand new covenant. I fulfilled the law. I have fulfilled God's end of the deal, if you will. And now there's a new covenant. And as they partake of these elements, it's very symbolic of them entering into this new covenant. Today, when we partake of the meal, these elements, we do very much the same thing. We've already, by faith, entered into that new covenant. Through faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, we have entered into this covenant with our God. And so as we celebrate this, as we take these elements, we eat this bread and we drink this juice, it's a picture. It's a picture of what he's done for us. But it's also, it's like we're eating this meal with him. As we've already entered into this covenant, and now we're confirming it. We're showing it. We're illustrating it. So this ceremony that we sometimes call the Lord's Supper, or the communion, is just that. It's a ceremony. It's a picture. Nothing spectacular happens when we drink this juice or eat this bread. It's crackers that we bought at a store. It's juice that we bought at Walmart. There's nothing special about these elements. But they're special in as much as they illustrate the covenant that we as Christians now live under with Christ, through Christ. And so as we partake of these elements, it's very symbolic of what we did when we put our faith in him. We entered into that covenant by that. Now, if the men would come forward, we're going to serve these elements, and I have not arranged for... The deacons are supposed to do that, but we don't have enough deacons, so if the men would come forward, we'll take the communion. But before we do, I want to be sure to emphasize that this meal is only for those who have made a profession in Christ's sacrificial death as a covering of their sins. That is critical. If Christ's blood is not covering the doorpost of your heart, as it were, you have no right to participate in this. Don't miss that. If you are not a Christian, if you have not put your faith in Christ's blood for your salvation, this is not for you. That sounds perhaps harsh, but that's not something I've made up. It's not something the church has made up. It's in God's Word. And if you want to confirm that, it's in 1 Corinthians 11, which I'll be reading from in a little bit, but I'm not going to read all of it. It is biblical. It is a requirement that we be saved. It's also important that we as Christians examine our hearts before we partake of these. And so I'm going to ask if you men would distribute these elements right now. Once you receive the bread, they're going to do the bread first. If you guys go ahead and pass those out. As you receive the bread, just hold on to it for a minute. If you're a Christian, again, and we invite, even if you're not, you don't have to be a member of Build Bible Church. This is open to anyone who professes faith in Christ. As you have that bread, take this time to consider, first of all, the sacrifice that Christ made by allowing his body to be broken. But secondly, examine your heart to see if there's wickedness in your heart, if there's some sin. You cursed the dog because he pooped on the floor last night. I don't know. Whatever. Take your sins to God and say, God, I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" See. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us. We pray that you would just work in our lives as Christians, that we would be aware of those times when we fail you, and we would confess those, knowing that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Then we'll distribute now the juice. Again, once you receive the juice, just hold on to it, and I'll lead us in the end. Supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your sacrifice, for the blood you shed that covers our sins through faith. Help us to be ever mindful of this sacrifice and the price it cost you. In Jesus' name.